I'm reading from the NIV, and it's Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 21, the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you forgive us when we haven't kept your commands. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit and your grace. Lord, I pray for Becca now. Thank you for everything she does here at Holland Road. And Lord, I pray you'll show her what we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Wendy. Hi, everyone. It is so lovely to see you. I'm so pleased to be with you today. And we're in this overview series, as we've heard, and it's been a bit of a wild ride, hasn't it, so far? And today we are joining the Israelites in the desert, receiving a list of very famous rules. I wonder, what do you make of that? How do you respond to rules? Do you like them? Are you someone that when you get a new board game, you rip it open and the first thing you look at is the instructions because you just want to know, how do I play it? What am I going to play and how am I going to play it? Are you someone who finds them crying out with Monica from Friends? Rules are good. Rules help control the fun. Perhaps so, you're a bit more like me. And when you see the sign for keep off the grass, you want to run all over it because you know grass was made to have fun on. Dan and I flew to Thailand a few years ago, and on that long flight, we wondered what to do. And the screens in front of us had battleships on them, and I'd never played that game before, but you could link up your screens to play against each other. And a few games in, I am really getting the hang of it. I am taking his ships down left, right, and center. It's as if I know where they are. And Dan's told me there's one rule: don't look at each other's screens. The guy behind us is sniggering. He knows exactly what I'm doing. Of course I'm looking at Dan's screen. How could I not? It was right there. Dan was outraged. He's a little bit of Captain America. He loves following the rules. And I like rules and games, but only so I know how to bend them. I think it makes it more fun. But some rules, they're a bit more serious, aren't they? I think this past year has helped us all learn a little bit more about how we respond to rules. There's been quite a few, and I've heard an increasing number of people who at the beginning of the first lockdown would say, well, of course, this is what we need to do to keep one another safe. To now saying something more along the lines of, well, when the rules make sense, I'll follow them. But for now, they just don't seem to, so perhaps I won't. Do we like rules? How we answer that often comes down to who's given them, what our relationship with them is like, and what we're like. We do find it increasingly difficult to follow them, don't we? My friend yesterday said, Becca, rules are made to be broken. There seems to be a growing distrust and dislike of authority, and a growing movement towards the idea that the best thing to do is to decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. It's offensive for others to put definitions of good and bad on us. And yet, we also know we live in a world of brokenness, of pain, of injustice. We live in a world of subjective definitions of right and wrong, and a lack of consequences, a lack of justice for people all around the world. And so I'm curious, what do you think of the Ten Commandments? Are they the answer to a just world? Perhaps you might have thought, oh, it was nice to hear that list. It was a bit like being back in Sunday school. Or perhaps you might have thought, actually, these just sound a bit outdated. They sound a bit irrelevant. And you wouldn't be on your own in thinking that. YouGov, which is like an online poll site, shows that only 6 of the original 10 commandments are seen by most British people as important principles to live by. And even amongst Christians that took part, fewer than a third of them thought keeping a Sabbath day holy was important still. Perhaps when it comes to don't murder, we can get on board quite easily. But do we really need a rule about coveting? Doesn't wanting what others have help us decide what next to buy? Surely they were just a moral code for a different time. If you're listening today and you're a Christian, are these standards that you measure yourself by? I wonder if you've heard the phrase, Christianity is all about rules, it's all about relationship, it's not about rules. And so perhaps we hear this list with fondness, but not fear, should we? Is there a role for the law in the life of a believer? I'm sure we'd all agree to some extent that we really do need clear boundaries between what's right and wrong for society to flourish. For there needs to be a standard, and if someone breaks it, they should face consequences. But we do also live in this culture that says, your rules are fine for you, except that my rules need to be fine for you too. And so what do we do with this list of commands? It might even seem ironic to you that last week in Israel's history, we were celebrating freedom, only for them to now come face to face with a list of serious rules. They've had 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Do they really need more telling what to do? So that's what we're chatting about today. My prayer is that we might discover that these commands are really worthy of deep celebration, that we'll discover that they're not just rules, but they're revelation. And firstly, they're revelation of who God is. Laws tell us something about leaders, right? Within a law about COVID, about how essential workers could be the only ones moving around, the Prime Minister of New Zealand declared that the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny are essential workers. And what does that say about Jacinda Ardern? It might seem like a really silly example, but I think it's actually really powerful. that during an incredibly stressful time, as a leader in leading a country through a pandemic, she chose to consider the thoughts and feelings of children. It shows she's got a lot of compassion, a lot of kindness in her character. Laws reveal the character and nature of leaders that create them. And Moses is in this incredible situation where he's in dialogue with God. He's on a mountain with the holy God who wants to reveal more of himself to Moses and to his people. Verse 2, God says, I am the Lord your God, using his divine name Yahweh, the Lord, saying that there's a way that I want my people to live. He's already said that the people can't come up the mountain with Moses because God's too holy, too set apart. And we know in Leviticus 19, there's a call to God's people to be like him. There, God says, be holy because I am holy. So what must God's people be like? Like him. What is God like? Well, he gives people the gift. He answers them by declaring what he expects from them. Have no other gods before me. Consider nothing of more importance than me. Be careful how you use my name. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your parents. Do not murder. Be faithful to your spouse. Don't lie or steal. The Ten Commandments and the whole law itself, they're not just rules. They're revelation of God's character, of the one who has given them. Dan was praying earlier that God would reveal himself to us, and he does this through what he says. How often have you read lists in the Bible of rules and thought, oh, it's a bit dry, it's a bit boring? I know I have. What would we find out instead if we asked, what do they reveal about God? They show us he's unique in being the only true God. He desires rest. He desires abundance and peace for his people because it's he who's the one who is the creator and sustainer of the universe, not us. He demands truth because he is truthful. He demands strong, respectful relationships and faithfulness because he is faithful. His way is the way of beauty and of justice. And he commands his people to be content because he lacks no good thing. And therefore, in him, we lack no good thing. What would the world be like if everyone kept the Ten Commandments? Imagine it, just for a second. Imagine a world where nobody steals, so you're not afraid to not lock your car door or your front door. Imagine a world where every parent commits to one another, where you can walk the streets at night without fear. Imagine never having to worry about getting a phone call from a scammer trying to steal your money on the phone. Where your neighbor looks out for you and you for your neighbor as you honor God together. Imagine turning on the news and there's celebration after celebration of humanity rather than stories of brokenness and injustice that we hear now. Imagine a world of justice. We are to build a world like that. Those that love God, that's our calling. Do you remember the promise that God gave to Abraham? He said, you're going to bless the nations. You're going to represent God to the nations around you and bring them to God. And so, of course, people should look like God. We don't have time to go into detail of what each commandment shows about God this morning. But can I encourage you this week to just have a look at that list and ask God, what does this reveal about you? How can I praise you because of this rule? It's important to God how people are treated because he created us. And so these laws show us how he desires humans to be treated and to live together. And it's why we react so strongly to injustice. It's built into our very nature. We respond, no one should have to live like that when we hear stories of injustice because we weren't made to. People made in the image of God were not made to live in injustice. And there are consequences. There is justice for not following God's laws. The Bible says it's death. For every action, everything and everyone that deserves justice in this world, for every situation that you cry out for justice for, there will be a day that comes that all will face God the judge and face terrifying consequence for sin. So there's a problem, isn't there? We are a long, long way off that scene of Mount Sinai. And yet, we do not seem to live in a just world, do we? We live in a world of lies and death and pain and inequality and a lack of worshiping God. And more than that, we lie, we steal, we disobey God. How often do we want others to follow the rules, but we can't actually even seem to follow them ourselves? And so the law gives us a second revelation. It gives us a revelation of who we are. God gives the Israelites the 10 rules, and they cannot even seem to keep the 10. It's almost laughable. Moses is literally coming down the mountain, and the people are making for themselves a golden cow to worship. And so a pattern emerges to continue to pursue justice and righteousness in his people. God gives more laws, some to keep them distinct from the people around them, distinct as his, some that are moral laws, some that are social laws. And yet the people break them again and again. 613 laws are found in the first 5 books of the Bible alone. And no matter how many laws are given, the people rebel. The questions arise, how could this nation possibly represent God to the people around them when they're causing destruction, when they're disobeying? The law has now got heavy. And when you think of the God's laws, does it make you feel tired? We want to live the right way, but so often we fail. Our lives are filled with shoulds and shouldn'ts. And isn't that just hard? And then Jesus comes along and he says, the condition of your heart is actually even worse than you realized. He's talking about the 10 commandments when he says in Matthew 5, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's even angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. It's not even that we shouldn't kill, it's that we shouldn't bring death through hate. Even when we try and do good, God massively exposes our hearts. In Mark 7, Jesus says, your hearts are so hard. In fact, nothing good comes out of the human heart. It's not a good diagnosis, is it? He says, out of the human heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, arrogance, folly. Do you relate to those things? When I dare to look in, I do. Do you notice that those evils are actually the opposite of the 10 commandments? Exactly what we're not supposed to look like. It's like the default setting of our hearts is opposed to God's law. It's hard and it's heavy. Where has imagining that beautifully just world gone, eh? That was a lot easier, wasn't it? And the realization that we're part of the cause of that just world not existing, that's terrible. And this is why we don't like the law, because we think of it as a cruel mirror that causes us to see what we don't like, and we try and fix it by just keeping the rules. And we, like the Israelites, fail. And that can lead to shame and even hatred of God and his law, because we feel like, God, you've set us up to fail. A bit later, Jesus says, go love your neighbor. How could he even say that to us when he's just said he knows what our hearts are like? We find ourselves thinking, I've broken his law, I've sinned again. Do I even belong to him? Did I ever truly belong to him? The law has revealed how far humanity has strayed from being in God's image, and the wages of that is death, eternal separation from God. We're told we've got hard hearts, and no law, no instruction is going to help us. We need a whole different system. I want us to notice something really vital. Dramatic pause for the water. When is it that God gives these commandments to the Moses and the Israelites? He gives these commandments after he has saved them. Look again at verse 2. God reminds Moses of who he is, and then God talks about he is the one who delivered them from Egypt. When was it that God saved his people? Before or after they obeyed the law? He rescued them. He saved them before they even received the law. And this is what God loves to do. They were already his people because he chose them. He rescued them. It did not take their obedience in order for him to call them saved. And that's what God is interested in doing. He's interested in creating new kinds of people that are able to love him and others. He's interested in giving people new hearts first, and that then they are capable of living in his ways. How does he give those new hearts? Jesus said he came to answer that. He came to keep and to fulfill the entire law, to fully love God and love others perfectly. Where Israel failed, where we fail, Jesus succeeds completely. He took the weight of the law upon his shoulders and fulfilled every single one of them. He fully loved God, he fully loved others, he showed the nations what God is truly like through acts of love and mercy, and ultimately through dying for his enemies, for dying for us. And we might ask, if God gives us new hearts, does that just mean some get off easy? That some don't face justice? The reality is, Jesus took God's anger on the cross for everything that demands justice. So either you escape judgment through belonging to Jesus, who has taken it for himself in our place, or you choose that judgment to take on yourself. It's why life with Jesus is the better one, where Jesus takes that judgment, takes justice instead of you, instead of me. And after his resurrection, Jesus then promises the Holy Spirit to live within those who trust him, to help us obey the law, to love God, and to love our neighbor. How then do we relate to God's commands as believers? Romans 3 helps us with this. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Then what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So let's stop trying to go back to keeping the law without Jesus. We're no longer under it as Jesus has fulfilled it. We will not manage to keep it on our own. We cannot. It only leads to legalism, to shame, and to not loving God. Instead, we rely on and have faith in Jesus. When we break the law, we come to him, we confess, and we trust that he both takes that weight of our sin upon him completely, and that he makes our hearts new so that we may contribute to a just society now, and that one day we'll be able to fully enjoy a completely just eternal kingdom with him when he returns and makes all things new. Although not held under the law in order to belong to God, it's still his instructions for the best way for us to live. And so we seek to love him and others with all our hearts, asking for his Spirit to daily equip us and to help us do so. Part of loving others is then also encouraging them to receive a new heart from God. We know there's no other way we can or they can be rescued from God's judgment. No other way for the world to change. So let's go. Let's show the nations how it's possible to live set free from the burden of law, and pray that they might want to receive Jesus as a result. Do we still need the Ten Commandments? For salvation, we never did. For revelation of God, grateful dependence on Jesus, and for living a life of justice and fullness, you bet we do. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you and we marvel at your holiness and your goodness. In your presence, we confess that we have not kept your law. In so, so many ways, we've not kept your law. But we rejoice that Jesus has kept it for us. So would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you come and free us from shame, from legalism, from thinking we can please you by trying to keep your law on our own? And instead, would you come and renew us, come and change us so that we may love you, walk humbly and act justly. God, bring that day when you make this world completely just. And thank you that we get to be part of it when we are hidden in you. In your name, amen.